What's up, Clipskis?
Oh, we here, dude.
Another terrible loss.
Oh, yeah, an unencouraging loss.
Oh, man. Getting real tired of that. Anyways, we're still here. We're locked on Clippers. I'm William the Opinion Updike.
And I am quasi-positive Chuck Locklear.
Yeah, we're coming at you 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, with all the freshest Clippers content. We got a heck of a show lined up for you today.
Yeah.
So we're going to recap that loss to the Mavs. some true lowlights we got to plod through.
Yeah.
A couple of decent things. And then we're going to do kind of a larger game preview for the game against the Heat, which I am not predicting to go well.
No, I didn't really want this game to be apparently as important to the rest of our season, but it might be.
It really, really might be. So we got all that and more coming up for you right about now.
So the Mavs and the Clippers played basketball last night.
Well, the Mavs did.
The Mavs did. The Clippers lost 98-106. Real stinker.
It was bad.
We really, I mean, I think we all kind of knew missing Gallo would be a big deal.
Definitely.
But I think it's perhaps bigger than we thought.
Oh, absolutely.
I was talking about this with a guy on Twitter. Lou played last night. Justin Russo had a funny comment about how Lou has bionic hamstrings. He didn't play very well. I don't think he was 100%.
No, but I actually didn't think he was terrible. The shot wasn't really falling for him, but he still found ways to get to the line. He still scored in double digits.
Yeah.
He actually passed the ball, I thought, fairly well too. But it's not like the Lou scoring burst that we're used to getting.
For sure. Or definitely needed last night. Some quick stats for you guys. Patrick Beverley led the Clippers in scoring with 16 points and added 9 boards, which was pretty nice.
Yeah.
Avery Bradley and Lou each had 15 on a combined 10 for 27 shooting. For the Mavs, Harrison Barnes. Dude, so Harrison Barnes, like the 7 games before this, put up no more than like 9 points.
Oh, wow.
And then this game led everyone in scoring with 20 points, which is just so frustrating. Luka had 17, 8, and 4, and DeAndre had 13 and 16.
Wow.
Just like, damn.
Just some really pretty terrible stuff. Both teams shot pretty poorly from the three-point line.
Yeah.
we were knocking them down at a nearly 28% clip.
Oh, man.
While the Mavs were just under 30%. We shot 75% on free throws. Big shout out to Trez, who only missed one of four.
Trez missed 1 of 4, and then I think Sindarius went like 1 for 4, like as a total, which kind of bummed me out.
Beautiful. We got out rebounded 41-48. Okay. Fast break, we did kind of defend well. It was dead even at 12-12.
Yeah.
And we got outscored in the paint, which, you know, was pretty predictable.
Yeah, it was so the game was really tight. There was 19 lead changes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We were up by 3 after the first, which was
led great. By as much as 10.
Yeah. Then with 6 minutes left on the fourth, we were winning, and they went on a 16-7 run, just kind of bury us.
And that was kind of it.
We only had 7 turnovers. Which is...
Are you sure?
Yeah. Straight up. 7 TOs.
Oh, it says 8.
Oh, excuse me. 8 turnovers according to stats on NBA.com. I went off Basketball Reference. We'll split it, say we had 7.5 turnovers. But that's a plus.
Yeah, that's really,
right?
That's really, really solid. They had 13.
Man, it just like, I don't know, we shot, 36% from the field as a whole. We missed a ton of open looks. We won the first quarter by 3 points. In the second half, we shot 25% from the field.
Yikes.
Like, if that's happening, we need guys to kind of try and pick up fouls, and Gallo is our best guy at doing that.
Gallo and Lou Will, who, he managed to get to the line time after time. I can't remember. If you're lost, you can look, and you will find Lou
at the line. Lou took four. He went 1 for 6 from 3, which I think was just rust.
Yeah, I think rust, and I do think that that's going to affect your shooting motion from deep if you're having lower body issues.
Yeah, and it was his other side too, so it's like he seems like he has tough hamstring issues all the way around. Shea had a really off night. 4 for 14 shooting.
Yeah.
0 turnovers.
No turnovers. That's only a single assist, though.
Yeah, so
he did get a block in, though, which is, you know.
That's good. You're doing good. It just felt flat.
It did. Yeah, it fell flat all the way through.
The desperation that was there in the Spurs game did not make it with us down to Dallas.
No, no. One bright note, just to balance out what we got so far. Mike Scott is coming out of his shooting slump a little bit. He shot for 43% last night. Only 1 of 4 from three, but three of seven overall. Pretty good. Finished with 7 points, which is just, you know, more than we've gotten out of him in a while.
I was going to say, that's like when Avery Bradley scores 15.
And he also added 4 blocks, so.
Damn, he had 4 blocks?
Yeah.
I missed that. My eyes were clouded.
Patrick Beverly led with 5.
So this is where our feels like our team is in complete.
Oh, never mind. That's incorrect.
Okay. I was like, what the hell is happening? Yeah, it just, the thing with me was that really frustrated me is that their starters played 29 minutes plus each.
Yeah.
The night before.
Definitely.
They came out against us and their whole starters averaged 31 minutes and they still won.
Yeah.
We don't seem to have the ability to tire teams out.
No. Which is really surprising just given our pace, and we generally have a pretty high octane offense.
Yeah.
Obviously it's lacking a little bit now.
It's just kind of flummoxing because it's like, I know that's not necessarily our offensive flow is to run and gun and stuff like that, but it feels like there should be maybe a lineup or something in place for when the other team is, I'm assuming, tired. I'm assuming you're tired if you played 33 minutes the night before.
Definitely. Well, just piggybacking off of this lineup, convo, Doc was like a lot less experimental with the lineups, at least in terms of giving them any significant amount of time. Mm-hmm. The starting lineup, which was, if you didn't know, Shea, Patrick Beverly, Avery Bradley, Tobias Harris at the four, and Harrell as the starting center, played 16 minutes, and they were pretty solid. They did host the best plus minus of the night.
Yeah. And the ball movement looked good early.
Yeah. There just was less time given to some of the better second units. Like the combination of Avery Bradley, Jerome Robinson, Ty Wallace, Mike Scott, and Jonathan Motley posted the second highest plus minus of the thing.
Love that lineup.
Of the game, yeah. And they only played a little over 5 minutes. So I think that especially against second units, because the Mavs are deceptively deep,
yeah,
that it would have been nice to see this lineup maybe get a little bit more playing time and maybe just some of the ones that were less effective get a little less playing time.
Yeah, we kind of talked about that yesterday with Doc being a little stubborn sometimes with like bad second lineups.
Yeah.
And the Mavs are weirdly deep. They're like Mavs deep. Like Devin Harris, I don't think would be on any other NBA roster if he was not on the Mavs. This is no disrespect to Devin Harris. He played well. They got the win, but like,
that's fair.
And they have JJ Barea, who didn't play last night, but they just get these things out of guys.
Yeah, they really do.
Which is pretty, I mean, it's just our bench feels, you know, with no Gallo and a kind of hobbled Lou, our bench feels so depleted.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really hard because we're only missing one guy, really.
Definitely.
And the whole thing just falls off.
Well, we're missing two. I mean, we're missing two starting caliber players right now.
For sure. Yeah. Luke Mbamute, who did tweet recently for the first time since Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, I wasn't including him in our starters. Oh. But I was just saying Gallo and Lou.
Yeah.
That's two starting level caliber players. And sure, Lou doesn't technically start, but, he averages damn near 30 minutes a game.
Yeah. And he puts, I mean, and he, you know, we missed, when he's out, our bench is missing 18, 19 points.
Yeah, yeah.
A frustrating thing that's been a pattern kind of from the game last night was DeAndre Jordan was a presence down low all night.
To be expected.
He had 4 blocks.
Yeah.
There's this thing our team does anytime there's a good to great rim protector, like the game against Rudy Gobert.
Mm-hmm.
We just like overtly try and challenge them at what they do best, it seems like.
You're talking about just getting blocked at the rim.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Like,
definitely.
We just seem to do this thing where it's like, damn, that dude's good at blocking shots. I'm going to try and shoot as close as I can to that guy. Like,
definitely.
It just, it flummoxes me.
It does.
We know that DeAndre, we know where he scores.
Yeah.
Like, this is kind of transitioning. This is a bad transition. But our team defense down low was also brutal last night. DeAndre had open looks down low And it's like,
yeah,
where the hell else is he going to score from?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and they outscored us by 12 in the paint. We're not a solid interior team, especially especially against, you know, traditional size athletic centers.
Yeah, it's just frustrating. It seems like we're just running into these same problems against non-floor spacing centers.
Yeah, yeah. And I a little bit understand it on the defensive end. Mm. I don't really think there's an excuse on it for how, like, we're getting shut down by that type of center. It's from a scoring perspective.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
For
there's
sure.
just enough shooters and, like, enough, you know, we're a decent passing team.
Yeah.
We're, you know, sort of in the middle of the
league.
Yeah,
but we're not, like, run into full speed into the wall every time team.
Yeah.
Like, our offense has these capabilities to just, and I'm not even, I don't even think we're both saying, like, fire up the three more. Just shoot outside of the restricted area.
Yeah, 100%. Like,
just 100%. Back up
you
a
got
little a, bit.
If you got, a, you know, a, somebody like DeAndre down low who, you know, just size alone,
yeah,
you're at a disadvantage. I don't know why you're not trying to kick the ball out.
Yeah. Shea got blocked this game, as I feel like he does every single game. He, Clipper Nation, I think it was either Clipper Nation or Clipperholics was talking about it. We've talked about this. It's a weight issue and it's just a layup package issue. People kind of know he's going to do the one move and then pivot, and he, it feels like every game he just gets absolutely rejected at once.
Yeah, he needs to add some more kind of deceptive tools to his arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, you know, I'd like to see him use, like, that slinkiness that he has while he's in the air. Like,
oh,
able to
I
kind
like
of,
that.
Like, able to kind of change
take
direction
contact.
And stuff. And I think that that's something that he could be good at because, you know, he's not the most athletic guy. He's not, like, a super explosive athlete.
Yeah. He's smooth more than anything.
But I think that adding stuff like that, it's A, something that complements the game that he already has,
mm-hmm.
and B, just adding those sort of tools. And also just, you know, as he gets a little bit more used to quality NBA shot selection.
Yeah.
I think that that stuff is going to come.
For sure.
You know, he's had a couple of bum games recently. But I think that that's just part of the development thing. I'm still really glad that he's in this starting lineup.
Yeah, definitely. All in all, a pretty frustrating loss.
Yeah.
Couldn't have really gone worse minutes-wise, considering we play again tonight. Four of our five starters played 31 minutes or more. So with a game tonight and a game on Friday, Doc's minutes managing is going to be pretty crucial.
Do we want to touch on the Tobias problem before we wrap up this little recap?
Yeah, since we're not doing a What Could Have Been Wednesday, I figured we'd hit him with it after the break.
Ooh.
Ooh, guys, coming up, we're going to be talking the Tobias problem, maybe conundrum. Problem might be a little too negative. I put that in there when I was upset. But first, if you're following multiple Locked On podcasts and you don't follow Locked On Net, check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. You get everything aggregated into one account, which is great. On Instagram, you get the bigger stories, which is awesome for just 1 minute quick cuts. Again, that is Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. So we don't have any What Could Have Been Wednesday today. We were both too angry to figure something out.
Yeah, I was really frustrated.
My man over here was on a birthday dinner with his girlfriend, and the Clippers are getting beat by the Mavs.
No, it was terrible.
How are you supposed to enjoy it?
Ruined a very nice meal.
Yeah, we'll flip the table over. So Tobias was bad last night.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I think even more, like, I'm fine with guys having off shooting nights.
100%. He
That's
had two
not
great
issue.
Games before this.
Yeah, my issue is the passivity
mm-hmm.
and his tendency to kind of disappear in games.
Yeah, he's like that gif of Homer
yeah.
going into the bushes.
In case you guys didn't look at the box score,
which we don't recommend doing.
He attempted 8 field goals last night, which, just for a frame of reference, I'm attempting more K-Cup shots at the wastebasket on a daily basis than that.
Hope you're not listening, Tobias. Call a burn unit, dog. Yeah, 8, that is... That blows my mind.
That part to me is
how many shots
so
did Avery
wild.
Bradley take?
Avery Bradley took 11.
Avery Bradley took 11.
Yeah.
Shea took what, 14?
Shea did take 14.
Like,
Patrick Beverly took 14. Lou Williams took 16 in 15 less minutes than Tobias.
That's
12 less minutes, but close enough.
That's the thing. It's just like
Tobias played a full extra quarter of basketball than Lou Williams and took like nearly half the shots.
That so we talked about yesterday how maybe Trez and Tobias needed to combine for 40. They got half that and we lost. Some of that is on Trez, but the issue with Tobias, he went 0 of 5 in the second half of an 8-point loss.
Yeah.
I would much rather see him go 0-15 in the second half.
Yeah, some of these were like really pretty quality looks too.
Yeah, he missed like mid-range shots.
Yeah, there was one where Trez set a screen so hard the dude fell down, and so he just had like a wide open three and did not knock it down.
I don't, and this feels like something that's not coachable. Like intensity, I'm not saying he can't snap out of it at all, but it seems really hard to like grab somebody, a professional athlete, and be like, hey, you need to be more intense and like try and coach it. You know what I mean?
I don't know that it's not coachable. I do think that there are guys who have that instinct innately.
Yeah.
There are guys who like, when the chips are down, give me the ball.
Yeah. And I'm shooting even if I'm 0-30.
Absolutely. And I love to see that kind of stuff. Even if you are, you know, 3-30 or whatever,
yeah,
at least you'd put up 30 shots.
Yeah. We love watching Lou will do that sometimes. And yeah, it's like, well, what else is he going to do?
Yeah. So I do think that there is, I don't know if it's, if he's hesitant to take the reins. I don't know if he gets his confidence rattled too easily. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, if he's wanting to make near max money, like I just feel like we beat this horse to death. But if he's looking for near max money, like this doesn't cut it, and this doesn't cut it even in a one game sample. To be honest with you,
for sure,
you know what I mean. Like yeah. Paul George does not have nights like this.
No,
right now, you know, like yeah, maybe when he first came back from his leg being broken in half or whatever. But like, you know, he like even when he's shooting his off, he's not only taking 9 shots.
Yeah, definitely, and so. He took 2 shots in the third and 3 in the fourth.
Yeah.
Which I was messaging with the host of the Blue Hardwood podcast, whose name I don't know. I just know him as the host of the Blue Hardwood podcast. Sorry about that. Who commented, it's a Mavs podcast, that Tobias looked like he wanted no part of shooting the ball in the fourth, and he's 100% right.
Yeah.
Like, just try and take control of games.
100%.
Just try.
Yeah.
That's what we're at. He has improved this year. The thing that I think a lot of fans are getting bogged down, some lunatic Clippers fans are saying we should trade Tobias or like let him go.
No, and
like,
we're kind of dumping on Tobias right now, but like we're hoping a lot of fire under him.
Yeah.
Anytime we dump on a player, they turn it around.
I'm not trying to get down. I'm trying to light a fire. He's someone who makes our team better.
Yes.
In the grand scheme of things, he's having one of his better seasons right now.
And he has improved at little things. Like he's a better rebounder now. He's trying to get to the line more. It hasn't quite gotten there yet, but he's trying.
He set a career high in assists.
Yeah.
This season, which is great. The 4-for-$80 million extension that he turned down seems like his value right now.
I agree.
Today, it seems like his value.
I agree.
He bet on himself, which I don't think anyone listening to this has a problem with.
No.
I think also, here's the thing. This might be just me being a little too nuanced. I think the wordage of saying he rejected the extension puts it into people's heads that it was a rude no thank you.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No, 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 it was an amicable, like, hey, we can offer you this. We might as well try it.
This is really pretty common for players, especially
26-year-old guys who are constantly improving.
Yeah.
You know, his value, the 4-for-$80, that could go up. That could also maybe go down in terms of what his value right now. But he's a complimentary to a number one guy.
Definitely.
This is his first year, I think, having this much pressure or something like that on him.
I agree.
So I think he's maybe getting used to that, and we're just going through a rough patch.
Yeah.
It's not like he's the only one who's playing poorly right now.
No. It's like this is not a one-person problem.
Yeah.
And just on the season, you know, he is averaging about 21 points and 8 boards, which is like perfectly solid.
That's 4-for-$80 money.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's
perfect.
That's 4-for-$80 money. Yeah.
But we hope we can turn around tonight.
4-for-$80 money.
Hey, oh, damn, dude. They should start calling that the Eddie Money contract. Wow. We're truly revolutionizing every single time we do an episode here. Let us know what you guys think about Tobias. If anyone comes in our mentions again on Locked On Clips saying that we need to trade him to the East for someone who can, quote unquote, win us games, I'm going to block you. That doesn't make any sense. Why would they trade? Anyway, coming up, we have a preview of tonight's Clippers versus Heat game.
All right, so last time we played the Heat, things did not go our way.
No.
We
at all.
We took an L on that one. Final score, 121-98.
We put up a duke of a fourth quarter, as I put it in here. We got outscored 30-8.
truly awful.
It was a one point game.
This was the most like one of the most painful games I had to watch all season. And there were a couple of notable absences.
Huge absences.
One being Hassan Whiteside, and the other being Josh Richardson, possibly their best player.
Yeah, we were without. We're going to be without Gallo and Luke tonight. They will have Whiteside and Josh Richardson. Oh man, this could we could lose this game.
Yeah. another just disturbing thing is even without Whiteside, they outscored us in the paint 52-38.
Oh, that's disturbing. Listen to the rebounds last time. So we're going to get this transition to what we need to do to win. Last time against the Miami Heat without Hassan Whiteside.
Yes.
They out-rebounded us 57-36.
Wow.
I thought my computer was broken.
By 20-plus rebounds?
By 20. And Gallo had 11 of our rebounds. And he ain't there tonight.
Wow.
Gallinari's not walking through that door. So hopefully Tobias can get in that 8-12 range. He seems like capable of getting to. Beverly can kind of continue his like sneaky rebounding stretch.
Yeah.
And I guess I just hope Trez can bother him enough to like make the margin closer.
Yeah, definitely.
21 rebounds?
So grabbing a rebound is definitely going to be a key to what we need to do to win. I think that I talked about this a little bit up top, but containing Josh Richardson.
Yeah.
I don't know who is best suited to do it. I would guess that Avery Bradley will spend the majority of possessions probably guarding him while Patrick Beverly takes on Justice Winslow.
That's what I was trying to figure out too, because Josh Richardson's kind of a big dude.
Yeah.
For a two.
Yeah. But yeah. I would guess that Avery Bradley will be the primary defender on him, with Shea and Beverly occasionally switching on.
Yeah, and he puts up he puts up like 18 a game.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah, and he's capable for going off even more. Yeah. But it seems like, you know, he is kind of the fulcrum for their offense. I guess it was Monday night. He had an off shooting night. And the Celtics are, you know, obviously a really solid defense.
Yeah.
And as a result, I feel like it drug down the whole team.
Mm-hmm. That kind of goes into the next point, which is just beat their bench.
Yeah.
We let D Wade put up 25, 6, and 6 off the bench against us last time, which can't happen. He did go 4 of 8 from 3, which is way different than his usual 33% clip. But Kelly Olynyk had 15 and 10 off the bench. Derek Jones had 7 and 11 off the bench. Like, this is a game where Motley and Jerome really need to pull their weight a lot more than usual, I think.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not indicting them for not having done that, but this game, with apparently how the Heat bench plays against us, we need those guys.
Yeah, it's going to be especially difficult. Our bench got outscored in that first contest, 49-43, got out rebounded by nearly 10 boards. You know, they just kind of got dominated in essentially every category.
Yeah, and it only really happened in the fourth. It was a 1-point game going into the fourth, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
We got to move the ball. We only had 16 assists last time. With no Gallo, our ball movement is weirdly stagnant. Last night in the early play, it looked really good. But
yeah. It's also a little bit like, while I keep liking this three guard lineup and like I want to see more of like what it can do, especially after they get more playing time together, there's not a whole lot of shooting.
No, there's not.
You know, Avery Bradley has been doing better,
mm-hmm.
But he's not the type of shooter that like really.
You're not looking for him.
He's not like a magnet to the defense.
Yeah, they're going to let him shoot.
Yeah.
For sure. Let's get into what could go wrong. We just touched on Josh Richardson.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe Tobias guards him if they run him at the three.
I'm just not sure that Tobias is fast enough. Tobias, yeah. Like, I was looking at some low light clips from last night's performance, yeah. And there's like some times where Tobias is getting like freaking torched by second unit guys. So I don't think that he's up to that task.
Yeah, I don't want that either. For the what could go wrong, we just kind of have a blueprint for losing to teams with good centers.
Yeah.
We lose the boards.
Yeah.
We lose points in the paint, and we lose turnovers. And that's how we pretty much lose this game, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah, it just feels like this feels like a trap game.
Yeah, it really does.
Let's get into some key matchups. You guys all know what could go wrong. I have, you know, everything from last night. Like, we couldn't hit open shots. We get run out in the fourth. Like, God, if we have another fourth quarter like we did against the last time we played him, I'm going to lose it.
So what are your key matchups for this one?
Lou Will versus Derek Jones.
Okay.
I think the game hinges on this matchup, if I'm being totally honest.
Really?
Yeah. Lou played okay last time. He put up 18 points, but he did go 6 of 16 from the field to do it. Jones guarded him for 27 possessions.
Wow.
Last time we played, and allowed him to go 4 for 5.
Okay.
So if we see this matchup a lot, I think Lou Williams will be able to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And help, because our starters are bad right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's happening, but whoever's in the starting lineup, it's just not working. So he's going to have to mitigate either the deficit when he gets on the court.
Definitely.
Or just, I think this is the biggest matchup. I think he'll have a bounce back game.
Lou Will?
I'm a little worried he played so many minutes last night.
Yeah. He did play like 24 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a little bit rough to say. I actually kind of was wondering aloud if they will even play him tonight.
I had that same thought, and that's why I'm kind of doing this one first in case people want to skip it, and it comes out in like 5 minutes that he's not playing. But I think I would be okay with them not playing Lou tonight.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Doc for Spo. I feel like we've been talking more about the coaching recently.
Yeah. Because of the injuries, we have to.
Yeah, because of the injuries, and especially when you're going up against guys like Carlisle or Spoelstra, obviously. Yeah, it'd be really good to see some more tinkering. I would like to see if that starting lineup isn't working for whatever reason, Doc not being so stuck on it.
Yeah. I just want to see some brand new lineups. I know that's a dumb thing to say, but it's like, we might as well try it.
Yeah.
We're in the midst of another stretch like in December, and we might be in a worse stretch.
Definitely.
If we lose to the Heat, that sucks. That's a bad loss.
It really does.
Yesterday's loss is a rough loss. The only thing that really kind of helps is the fact that they have, you know, the rookie of the year on their team. So it's like, well, at least we lost the team with the rookie of the year.
And we're injured.
Yeah. It's just like, goddamn. Another matchup, Hassan Whiteside versus Boban?
Do you think we'll see Boban tonight? He was a DMP last night.
Yeah, he was a DMP last night, but this is another thing where it's like, Whiteside isn't a floor spacer.
Yeah.
He's not quick.
Yeah.
He only really dunks.
Definitely.
Seems like the perfect recipe for some Boban.
I agree.
I don't know if he'll start. I don't even know if Gortat is going to play. He only played 5 minutes last night.
Yeah, I'm still kind of befuddled as to what is going on there.
It seems like anytime someone gets hurt, no matter who it is, it's just like, let's cut Gortat's minutes.
Yeah.
Which I don't really understand. He's been playing okay-ish.
Maybe they just see him as a more complimentary piece when the other
with the rotations.
Yeah.
They might know more than I do about rotations. But yeah, I think we'll see Boban, right?
It makes sense. It's, you know, one of those lineups where it makes sense. But you know, I could be wrong. Last night was a lineup where I think it makes sense to play some Boban minutes.
Because Hassan Whiteside has 4 inches of height and wingspan on Trez.
Wow.
And like Trez is a big dude, but Hassan Whiteside's still just so much bigger than he is.
He's big.
So we're going to have to shut him down. I don't know. What are your predictions for this game? I want to predict like a tie.
You want to predict a tie?
Yeah.
I don't know. I hate to say it.
I do too.
Kind of predicting a loss though. I think it might be 102 to 108 Heat.
I can't argue with that. I can't argue with that at all.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to predict a loss as well, just to reverse jinx these guys.
Yeah, let's hope.
I'm predicting 104-110 Heat.
All right.
We take a bathroom break in the third. That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, or can't close it out in the fourth.
Or can't close out, or one of the many things we've been doing to just throw games away in these past week. Guys, thank you for tuning in. Tomorrow we're going to have a hopeful victory recap.
Oh, yeah.
Against the Heat. We'll be doing some Thirsty Thursdays, which is just kind of stuff we want to see more of.
Definitely.
We are here Monday through Friday. We are Locked On Clippers. Please like, rate, and subscribe on iTunes.
It's huge.
If you say something funny, we'll talk about it on the show.
Definitely.
If you say something mean that's funny, we'll also talk about
it.
Thank you for listening. I've been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.